Good to me.
Ryan Carter was eventually the first to recover. He blinked and opened his eye, aware of a shattering ache in his head. He could feel blood crusted around his ears from the force of the shell. Someone was looming over him, a man, well-built. He wore some sort of silver band around his forehead, with a large red stone at its center, and his eyes were a peculiar golden color.
Has the agony somewhat abated?
The trader's rules had been simple. If you got caught by hostiles, you played it close and careful. That meant saying nothing and acting dumb. The Narodniki hadn't bothered to tie Ryan, Jibby, and Christy. While the trio was unconscious, the Narodniki had taken their weapons, leaving them helpless in the camp of heavily armed guerrillas. Uchichil still believed that this desolate land must have its legendary wealth somewhere. It couldn't possibly be this poor. Not after all he'd read and seen in the old books. Somewhere there were towering buildings that scraped the sky, beautiful women who offered themselves to every man. All of that and more was here in America. Uchichil's more robust approach to questioning prisoners hadn't worked, so, fortunately for Ryan, JB, and Christy, this time he was trying a more friendly approach, for a while. And this trio was utterly different from any of the shit-eating peasants he'd seen so far in America. They wore clean clothes that were almost like uniforms and were made of excellent material, Uchichil observed, and they were physically in good condition, particularly the tall man who'd lost an eye. He was honed like a fine blade. The woman with the scarlet hair was also in marvelous condition. It had taken all of Uchichil's persuasiveness to prevent some of his followers from immediately raping her. The short, skinny man with the spectacles didn't seem so powerful, but when they'd searched him, they'd found he was a walking arsenal, carrying concealed guns, knives, and explosives. Their guns, modern, well-greased, with no shortage of ammo for them, were better than anything that the Narodniki had ever seen. Most of the blasters looked as if they'd just come from an armaments factory. While the trio was unconscious, the band had gathered around them.
Did I not tell you, brothers? Here is wealth beyond reckoning. They drive a truck that can move over ice and snow. They must have fuel for it. Who has seen such things before? And where there are three, then must there not be more? Da, there must. And their guns, their clothes. We are close, brothers and sisters. So close to more power and wealth than we have ever dreamed of.
What if they are too powerful for us?
We have seen these Americans. Need the Narodniki fear such folk? Here are three of their best at our mercy.
Had his agony abated somewhat? The stranger's question confounded Ryan Carter, as did the man's ornate headband and the golden eyes. Had that bang on the head made him delirious? Ryan remembered that O'Mara, the machine gunner from Warwag 1, had once suffered a fearful crack to the skull, and had thereafter boasted for days that he was the traitor's grandfather. And his grandmother, too. Blinking his eye, Ryan realized that it was no blurred vision from a dream or nightmare before him, but something all too real. It was night, and they were in a hollow protected from the biting wind by the slope of the land. Several fires, fueled by pyrotabs, burned all around. To one side was the indistinct white shape of the buggy. It was tipped over. Ryan blinked and turned, and was relieved to see Christy and JB, both seemingly unhurt, though the armorer was as white as the snow and had a bloody nose. But his chest was rising and falling steadily. Then Christy, even as Ryan watched, put her hand to her head, opening her eyes. Don't talk. We're prisoners.
Silence!
Uchichil grinned at his success in finding the right word from his tattered phrasebook. The woman sat up, burying her head in her hands.
I feel sick.
J.B. Dix now also recovered consciousness and sat up and looked around. He said nothing at first. Taking off his glasses, he polished them on his sleeve, then replaced them. Finally, he retrieved his beloved fedora and placed it on his head. He looked at Ryan without expression.
They say anything?
Not well. I think they're foreign. Have you seen their blasters?
Uchichil was watching them, trying to catch what they were saying. He did not want to appear foolish before his fellows.
Yeah. They all got the old Makarov 9mm pistols with double-action triggers. A few of them are carrying Dragunova sniper's rifles. A lot of Kalashnikovs and 7.62 sub-MGs, all Russian. Never seen any in the Deathlands, only in the old manuals. You heard them talk?
Not much. But they don't look like us.
Many of the faces were Oriental. Slanted eyes, sallow complexions, straggly beards, and long black mustaches. The four or five women visible had coarse features and large hands. Not one of them looked at all like a mutie. Almost all of them looked like vicious murderers. Uchichul looked from face to face.
Can you offer a service?
What?
We are lost and desire directions.
Who are you?
Uchichul turned the pages of his book with laborious slowness.
Who are you?
He then pointed to his chest.
Uchichul!
Then he widened the gesture to include the rest of the band.
We are Narodniki.
I'm Ryan Carter. This is Christy Roth. And this is J.B. Dix.
Beneath him, Ryan felt the earth tremble, as though some immeasurably huge animal had stirred in its sleep. The gorillas wore thick furs with hoods of leather and gauntlets of fur-trimmed hide. From the maps that they'd seen in the redoubt, Ryan knew that Russia had been very close to the old United States in this region, being almost within sight of the coast of Alaska. But there had been no sign that the Russians had ever crossed the ice as invaders.
It is a great pleasure to make your, acquaintance.
Talks like Doc, doesn't he? Like from the old times. Back in Harmony, I read books, and that's how they talked. Maybe that's what that book is. It helps him talk to us.
Must be, since it seems none of them speak our language. But watch it. It could be a trick.
There was another minor tremor, this time accompanied by a faint rumbling of the earth. The flames in the fires danced as if some invisible giant had blown on them. Some of the horses whinnied in alarm, and several of the Russians looked uneasily at one another. It was quickly growing dark, and the wind was carrying sharp flakes of ice in its teeth. Poch